Well, this morning, I want to talk, since it's a Remembrance Sunday, I want to talk about one of those things that we hear all the time on Remembrance Day, and it's that phrase, less we forget. And as I was thinking about that this week, I said, I wonder if there's a history to that. Why do we say that? And there is a history to that fact about why we say, lest we forget. And a very common phrase, and it's meant as a plea for us to remember, to never forget the high cost of war, the high cost of freedoms that we enjoy here in our world, and of course here right in Canada. It's interesting this phrase became popular from a poem by Rudyard Kipling, and it was called The Recessional in 1897. It later became a hymn. A lot of poems became hymns back then, that was sung in memorial services and would end with people giving the response at the end where they would say, lest we forget. Now this poem, I was Old English, and I'll read you the first stanza, and it goes like this. It's, God of our fathers known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. And so that's where that phrase that we use at Remembrance Day comes from. But when you look at this poem that it came from, the poem was written because of Deuteronomy 4, 7 to 9. A lot of the history of this nation of Canada and a lot of the history of our world is really connected with what God has to say. And throughout the years, people have been very conscious of God in everything that we do and every celebration that we do. And right now in our world today and in our nation of Canada, we're forgetting a lot of this. We're forgetting that things were based on the Bible. And this is the verse or the verses that it came from. I'm reading from the King James Version because that's the version that they had and used at that time, versus Deuteronomy 4, 7 to 9. And it says, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, just to read that last verse in the New Living Translation, it says, but watch out, be careful never to forget, lest we forget what yourself, you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. And so from that passage of Scripture, we get this theme of lest we forget. And what this author was trying to tell us at that time was that we need to be careful that if a nation forgets the true source of its success, the Lord God of hosts, then its military or material possessions will be insufficient in times of war. And that's something as a nation of Canada right now that we really need to be paying attention to, because we're getting further and further away from God. We're getting further and further away from the principles that this nation was founded upon. And this simple statement of lest we forget really gets into that place where it's telling the nation, don't forget what is the true source of your success as a nation. And it's God. And it's God. I wonder if people would recognize that. And as we would come together and tomorrow we have that Remembrance Day service and we would come together, lest we forget if that would hit our minds. Yes, as a nation, we need to remember that God's the key. God's the key to our successes, whether it be in battle or whether it be in life itself. And so that's something that's very, very important. And the World War, we saw they applied this phrase, and it became commonplace across the British Commonwealth. And especially, of course, on a Remembrance Day, and when you go to memorials that you'll see, and you'll always see at the top of that memorial, lest we forget, and then you'll see all the names of individuals that have served in foreign fields and have passed away. And again, it was to serve as a plea to never forget the past sacrifices of our soldiers and of those who have given their lives for our freedoms. Never forget. That's the message. And when you look over the wars that Canada was involved in throughout the years, World War I, over 60,000 Canadians lost their lives. World War II, over 42,000. Korean War, 516. Afghanistan, 158. Gulf War, surprisingly, zero. But, however, there's also been many peacekeeping roles that we as Canadians have had. We've also lost lives there as well. And then if you wanted to look at those who are wounded, you'd have to triple those numbers of all the Canadians that have been wounded in wars. And then add on top of that, all those that are still suffering from trauma that they experienced in those war times. And so when we say that term, lest we forget, there's much to remember of those that have given their lives for us. So it's a very powerful phrase. And again, it's a phrase to call us to attention. It's a plea, a cry out to humanity to say, let remember the high cost of our freedom and to be grateful to those who laid down their lives for us. Now, as you think about that phrase and the fact that it is based on the Bible, it's interesting, again, just how much is based on the Bible throughout the years. And it does tell us that it's very important to remember where the blessings come from, where our successes come from, and to recognize not only the human costs and people that have gone on before us, even in the Christian faith, there have been many people that have given their lives for us to experience the faith that we get to celebrate today in this nation. There have been many that have been lost. Many have been killed. Many have been crucified just because of this faith. Many have gone on before us that we might have faith. Many people have gone on before us, even in this community, even in this church, that we might have this church built, that we might have this place, that we might come to worship the Lord. And so we need to heed this warning and plea to never forget about those who've gone on before us. But even to the fact, never forget what God has done and what the Lord has done. And in fact, that's the actual command that we see out of this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy. It's actually a command that never forget, lest we forget. It's telling us you must never allow that to happen. It's a command that gets repeated again as we come around what we would call a remembrance table, the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper, as we celebrate. Once again, he's telling us, lest we forget. And so when we gather around to have communion in our churches, it's again, remember, it's a plea for us to never forget what the Lord has done for us. Now, that passage of Scripture for communion is found in 1 Corinthians 11. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 32, and that's where the rest of our text is going to be talking about. And it says in that passage, and you'll see it on the screen there as well, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, lest we forget.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it, lest we forget. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And that is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup.
For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so we will not be condemned along with the world. So again, as you read this portion of Scripture, there is a plea that comes from Christ himself. It's interesting. I'm sure, you know, Christ knew that who we are as humanity, that we are often, we forget. We forget the blessings that we've been raised with. We forget how this nation came into being. If all Canadians would have to go back and learn in school again the true history of Canada, they would find that the history of Canada is based on a lot of Scripture. The foundation of Canada is based on the Word of God and faith in Jesus Christ. And so here is Jesus saying, lest we forget. I want you to really think about this. I want you never, ever, ever to forget what I'm doing for you today. What I'm about to do. And so as we're coming around this communion today on Remembrance Sunday, I thought it would be fitting for us to take time that lest we forget and to talk about what Jesus reminds us of in this passage of Scripture about communion. And that first plea that Jesus gives us, he says, lest we forget, involves the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 24. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we partake of this service that we might never, ever forget what Jesus did for us. And as we partake of that bread, it represents the body and the sacrifice of our God. And Jesus is telling us here, don't forget what I did for you, that I gave up myself as a sacrifice, as an offering for sin, that he was the sinless Lamb of God. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was the only sacrifice that would be acceptable to God as an offering of sin, because someone had to be offered that was sinless. And that's why Jesus came. He was our sinless offering. He's the only one that didn't commit sin. And he loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross and to pay for our sins, which was death. 1 Peter 2, 24 says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. You know, when we think of that cross, we often think of the pain and the anguish and the torture that Jesus bore upon that cross. But can you imagine the sinless Lamb of God taking on the sins of the world? What anguish that would have been. What torture that would have been for him to know no sin took our sin. What anguish that would have been. Hebrews 10:10 says it was God's will for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Jesus Christ was our sacrifice for sin. No other sacrifice needs to be made for sin, because Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Our Lord and Savior, he paid the price of sin. He became that sacrifice for sin that we could be restored to God and be forgiven. That cross was certainly not an easy experience to go through. Considered one of the most all-time torturous ways to die. And yet, little did they realize that they were fulfilling a promise of Scripture that the Son of God would come and would sacrifice his life for us. And he loved us enough. It's interesting that Jesus, the Bible tells us, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. Jesus could have said, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this. And yet he would say, not my will, but your will be done. and he went to that cross and gave his life for us that we might have forgiveness of sins and live for eternity. It was a high price, very high price. Sin had to be paid for with a sacrifice. Jesus was the only acceptable sacrifice. And he went to that cross. So as we come to this communion time, and we remember that phrase that we will hear especially tomorrow, lest we forget. Lest we forget what Jesus did for us. That he came into this world as a sinless, spotless Lamb of God to go to a cross, to be our sacrifice, to go through that whole process of dying, being killed, that he would be the sacrifice for our sins. He said, don't forget that, lest we forget. And then the second plea of lest we forget that Jesus wants to remind us of today is the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. So Jesus, again, he's giving us a plea. He's telling you, don't ever, ever forget what it took for your salvation. That not only was I to be the sacrifice, but my blood was to be shed. That's part of the sacrifice process. Blood has to be shed. And the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's going to be no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Jesus shed his blood for us, completing that process of a legal sacrifice, paying in full our debt of sin. 1 Peter 1:18 to 19 says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And so Jesus wants to remind us today, let us never, ever, ever forget the cost of our salvation. That it took the body and blood of our Lord, the perfect sacrifice with the perfect blood to atone for our sins. And without that shedding of blood, there would be no salvation. There would be no forgiveness. There would be no heaven for us to enjoy. And so we need to thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, that washes us from all sin. This morning we were kind of joking around as people were coming in about the snow, and people were saying, winter is here, and we've got all this snow that blankets our land. Well, one of the things that Jesus tries to remind us of is said that his blood washes us as what? As white as snow. And as you look at that snow that's covering the earth right now, right across Canada, actually. It snowed all across Canada this weekend. But your sins have been washed as white as snow. That's what he's done for you and for me. Lest we forget. Then thirdly, unless we forget, we need to remember that Jesus is coming again. We don't worship a dead God, but we worship a God who's very much alive. He is risen from the dead. He has conquered death and life, that we also may have everlasting life. And he pleads with us again. He said, I want you to remember I'm alive and I'm coming back again. It's a promise. Jesus gives us a promise, even in the communion time as we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ. He gives us a promise that, and don't forget, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. And so this communion service is not all to be, kind of a solemn occasion. It's also be a rejoicing occasion because we realize that we do have life, that we do realize that our sins are forgiven, that we do realize that there is a heaven. We do realize that Jesus is coming back to take his church, to take his people, that we might spend in eternity with him forever. With a trumpet sound of God and a shout, Jesus is going to return in the clouds of the air to receive all those that have believed in him. What a day that's going to be. The Bible talks about that those who are alive are going to be caught up in the air along with those who have died and gone on to be with the Lord. They too will be raised up from the dead, and together we're going to rise and meet the Lord in the air and reign with him for all eternity. Acts 1, 9 to 11, it talks about that promise here. And it says, after saying this, Jesus was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising from heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. A day is coming when we shall see him, coming in the clouds of the air to receive his church. And so Jesus wants us to remember that our faith is real and that we will be spending an eternity with him. He wants us to remember that there's a promise that Jesus Christ will return. Lots of times when you go to a funeral service, you'll hear this passage of Scripture read, John 14, 1 to 3. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. See, Jesus is coming again. He's returning for all believers to take them where he is in heaven. And that was made possible because of the sacrifice of Christ and the shedding of his blood, that we might have life and everlasting life. So our faith is real. And we serve a living God who's going to return for his people. And I really believe that day is soon. The Bible says, as we recognize that he is coming again, it says, be ye ready. Because you don't know that hour. You don't know that time when he's going to return. That we're to live for Jesus as if Jesus is coming today. That's how we're to live our lives. I think some of the church has forgotten about that. That Jesus is coming again, and that we need to be ready for his appearing. And so Jesus is telling us, even in this communion service, there's a plea that he's giving. He says, I want you to remember something. You need to remember something. I am coming again, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready for that coming. So every time we partake of communion, remembering that Jesus is coming again. He's going to return. He's going to return, lest we forget. And then lastly, as we hear about this phrase, lest we forget, Jesus reminds us, in light of all that he has done in his return, that we need to take the opportunity at every communion service, and even more than that, to examine ourselves. Self-examination is always a healthy way to stay in a right relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. This is something that Jesus tells us throughout Scripture, that it's something that's very, very important for us as believers, that we take time to examine ourselves. Makes you wonder, why do we need to do that? Because Jesus knows who we are. We fall, we slip. We start doing things that we shouldn't be doing, or we start allowing things in our lives that soon, you know, become things that dominate our lives, and Jesus is pushed away. And so he tells us, examine yourselves. Look at yourselves. Your salvation was won at a very high price, and we need to take that relationship with Christ very seriously. To take time to think, take time to remember, take time to examine ourselves to see where we're at spiritually. I love Psalm 139, 23 to 24. That's one of the passages of Scripture I like to pray when I'm praying. I like to sometimes just read Scriptures that as I'm praying that speak about examining oneself. Psalm 51 is a great one too. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 139, 23, 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I love to read scriptures as I pray. I love to read scriptures as I examine myself, that I might examine myself in the light of the word of the Lord. Because so often in our society today, we examine ourselves according to what other people are doing. And even in Christianity, we like to do that. We examine ourselves in what other Christians are doing. And that's a really bad way to examine yourselves. You're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to find yourself in sin, because if you're examining yourself by what other Christians are doing, you're heading in the wrong direction. The Bible says, examine yourselves according to the word of God. How do I line up with the word of God? I don't really care how you line up with other Christians. God's not going to be, when you stand before God and give an account, he's not going to ask you, well, how well did you do in comparison to other Christians? He's going to say, how well did you do to what I said and to the word of God? The Apostle Paul, he recognized that as well, tells us 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. And if not, you fail the test of genuine faith. See, communion is a time to examine ourselves, to see where we are spiritually. It's a plea that Jesus gave himself to say, I want you to take time to remember. Take time to remember your heritage in the Lord. Take time to remember those who have gone on before you, even in this church, that have made a way that you could have a nice building to come into today to hear the gospel and to rejoice in the Lord. There's people who have gone on before you that have paid quite high prices for you to be saved. And it tells us, so examine yourself and see if you're still in the faith. Where are you spiritually? What's happening in your life spiritually? And during that time of communion, it's really good to do that. And one of the good reasons for us to do that is also because we remember that as we recognize our sin and we repent of our sin, well, there is forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. And so it's not to put a downer on you when you're at communion and say, oh, I've been bad. You know, I haven't done this. I haven't done that. No, it's to look at those things and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me today that I've been going down a wrong road. And Lord, I just commit to going down those right roads again. I ask you to wash me afresh in the blood of Jesus. Lord, cleanse me afresh. I thank you that you paid the price for my sin. I thank you that you took care of it, God. And so, Lord, I just want to align myself with you afresh and anew again. And that's what he's telling us to do. Take it seriously, lest we forget. So as we conclude with this phrase, lest we forget, it is an important phrase and statement. From remembering the cost of our freedom as a nation to remembering the cost of our freedom of the faith that we believe in here today. Jesus himself, he makes this plea, lest we forget. Right before he went to the cross, right before he instituted the Lord's Supper, he tells us you need to take time to remember. It's important. Remember his body and sacrifice for sin. Remember his blood that was shed for forgiveness. Remember that he's alive and will return. Remember that we're to examine ourselves and keep ourselves in the faith. It's an important exercise, lest we forget.